Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Count Out, the only pro wrestling podcast that counts wrestling stuff down, except for one other out there. And I think it's called the Top Perfect 10.
Perfect 10, I think.
Perfect 10. Yeah, anyways, we're the other one. We're Count Out here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. We're also available wherever fine podcasts are. So if you want to check this out on the iTunes, on Stitcher, on Podbean, Google Play, iHeartRadio, we should be in all those places.
Yeah.
And we're looking to get on Spotify soon.
Hopefully soon.
We hit a big snag.
Yeah. We encountered a potential roadblock, but we'll work on it.
We were told it's in beta and it might not happen. But anyways, yeah, that's where you can find us. And
yes,
we're also on patreon.com/Steven Larson. You guys can contribute to the show and receive benefits and rewards in return for your, that's for a $50 shirt. You can get that. And then we're also at, we have merch at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where you can get this Kenny the Cleaner Bullet Club shirt.
Well, you can get that in Pro Wrestling Tees, just not in our store.
Not on our store. We have Going In Raw, Fuck Wrestling, Fun Wrestling, and of course, W Steve W right there.
Yes.
Anyways, Larson, let's get on with this.
Yeah, so news broke Monday that the Hardys, Broken Matt,
mm-hmm,
Hardy, Brother Nero, Jeff Hardy, are
not
now...
Brother Nero anymore, because he is Broken Jeff Hardy, I think.
Okay. The Broken Hardys.
Yes.
We're not going to re-sign with TNA, so effective, I believe, March 1st,
yeah,
they are free agents.
We have Jeff Jarrett to thank for that. Thank God for Jeff Jarrett joining TNA Creative, because, you know, he shows up, the Hardys are like, I'm not going to get hit in the head with another goddamn guitar. That ain't going to happen.
So, as far as we know, they haven't signed with any other promotion. I don't think they can yet, obviously, until their contract's up. By the time this goes up on Saturday, they may have.
Well,
but nonetheless,
Matt Hardy did say that this week was going to be an intriguing one.
Exactly.
In the history
of professional wrestling.
Yeah. So, some signs would seem to indicate that the Hardys are going to go to the WWE. We might be there to see them at WrestleMania.
Potentially. But
very interesting.
Seeing how they haven't announced what their future plans are yet, we know they'll be at Ring of Honor's Supercard of Honor April 1st, day before, mm-hmm, WrestleMania. They might have some other independent dates booked between now and then.
Yeah.
But as far as we know, they haven't signed with any major promotion yet.
Yeah.
So they got us to thinking, they're free agents. They could go anywhere they want to.
The world is their oyster at this point.
So what are some matches we want to see between the Broken Hardys,
yeah,
and other tag teams?
We're talking about New Japan. We're talking about WWE. We're talking about
NXT. We're talking Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Pro Wrestling
United
Guerrilla,
Kingdom.
Ring of Honor.
So let's just get started with number 10, Steve.
All right, number 10.
Well, first we better say top 10 Broken Hardy dream matches.
Number 10, Marty Scurll and Zack Sabre Jr. What were they known as when they were a tag team?
Originally, I believe they were called the Leaders of the New School.
They will be taking on the Best Friends.
Best Friends at PWG's next show on March 18th.
Yeah.
So Scurll and Sabre have a long history of tagging together.
We're on a Marty Scurll kick right now.
Very much so.
Because of what we saw him live at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And that dude, I would say, like, but him and Matt Riddle are just, like, overflowing with charisma. And it was a joy to see both those guys live. But, we got to check out Marty Scurll in the flesh in person. We were very...
He makes a pretty significant,
yeah,
impression when you see him in person. Like,
yeah,
I've seen some of his stuff on video before. You don't really appreciate all that he brings to the table until you see him live.
And even with Zack Sabre Jr., who is in the main event against Chuck Taylor,
mm-hmm,
defending his PWG world title. I saw him in the Cruiserweight Classic, and then I saw him, I think, in one or two other matches. And I wasn't, like, terrible. I kind of saw the appeal why everybody... But him working heel, I thought,
oh, yeah,
was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was a big turning point for me. Dead Ulysses next to me also said the same thing. He was like, man, why doesn't this guy work heel all the time?
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I thought he was a very effective, sort of had a cooled, calculating heel.
Detached.
Yeah, detached sort of attitude towards him. I thought worked very well with his style, which is a very technical style. He sort of picks his opponent apart.
Yes.
I thought that works really, really well for a heel. And so I would love to see these guys.
Well, you have Skrull, who is the villain.
Mm-hmm.
That's his gimmick now.
Very charismatic.
He just
and
oozes
his gimmick
charisma.
It would fit. His specifically would fit so perfect within the Broken Universe because he's got the bird mask thing and he does the thing with the wings. And
yeah.
then when we saw Jay White take him on, Jay White put on the bird and it transformed him. There's a lot of interesting, like, kooky kind of story stuff you can play around with.
And then you have Zack Sabre Jr. there, who's this cold, detached character who runs so counter to everything the Hardys do.
Yeah.
It'd just be an interesting juxtaposition to see how all the elements would play off each other.
Even stylistically in the ring, watching somebody like Zack Sabre Jr. against a Jeff Hardy, who's a high flyer, crazy high spot guy.
Risk taker,
and Zack Sabre Jr., who's a very methodical technical wrestler. I think that would be a fantastic matchup to see who can get who out of their game first.
And to witness it all at American Legion Hall in Reseda, California during a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show would be fantastic.
It would be euphoric.
Yes.
It would be fantastic.
It would be awesome.
Yeah. That's one we'd like to see. Number nine. Yano and Ishii from New Japan.
They are the current IWGP heavyweight tag team champions. What was the title of Yano's book?
Oh, God, I don't know. Something like, don't read this because I'm not a very good wrestler, or something like that.
It's like, this book has no merit because I know nothing of pro wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'm just on a big Yano kick right now. We're on big New Japan pro wrestling kicks right now.
Yeah,
because we're so new to it, and it's like a whole other world for us. And so, but Yano is basically a comedy wrestler. I mean, his finish is a low blow.
Yeah.
Waits till the ref isn't paying attention. He gives low blows, and then Ishii finishes the job.
Yeah.
And I think that's great, and I would love to see the Broken Hardys and these two. Because there's a lot of, I mean, there's with Yano, with comedy wrestling, there's a lot of creativity involved.
Yes.
And I would love to see Broken Matt Hardy try to figure out Yano and vice versa.
I know.
You know?
I know.
One thing that I sort of noticed, and it was sort of in the back of my mind anyways, but especially with the Honor Rising show, with things like Dalton Castle and Tanahashi and what was the other dude's name?
Oh, Taguchi.
Taguchi, the Funky Weapon. Them being his boys for night one. They have so much fun over there. Like,
I know.
They really do emphasize. There's just this feeling, and it's so crazy that you see it in the ring and outside the ring in gimmicks. And, you know, there's like so much freedom seemingly there.
Yeah, it seems like everybody is truly enjoying their experience wrestling in New Japan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a kick out of something. When I watched Wrestle Kingdom back in January, and I was like, oh, man, they're starting off with what is essentially the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, the New Japan Royal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is going to be a snooze fest. But it was wildly entertaining.
Yeah.
They all have so much fun with everything.
Exactly. And all the matches, or a vast majority of the matches, are so creatively booked.
Yeah.
Just in terms of how they get to different sequences and how moves are pulled off and reversed into other moves.
Now, I would think, sadly, that the Hardys really enjoy being at the Hardy compound.
Yeah.
They've got their houses in close proximity to each other. Jeff has his landscaping. Matt has his kids there. I would think that them signing with New Japan probably wouldn't happen, but maybe for a couple of one-offs.
Well, I mean, by all indications, the New Japan schedule is much lighter than, say, WWE schedule.
That's true.
And they wouldn't have to be on every tour.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if they showed up for Dominion, Wrestle Kingdom, and two or three other major events during the course of a year.
I wonder if, culturally speaking, if the Broken Universe thing, how it would go over there. I mean, they do some pretty surreal things.
Yeah.
But I wonder, the Broken Universe is such an oddball thing. I'm trying to think about it. It's I wonder culturally how it would translate.
I don't know if they get it. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be really fascinating. I would rather see it than not see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if especially even after the Hardys leave TNA, if they're still on their quest to prove that they are the greatest tag team of all time, then it would be great if they went to various promotions larger promotions like New Japan, like WWE, mm-hmm. to take on their respective tag team champions.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this case, Yano and Ishii.
It's so funny. The Hardys have been around for so long, and you almost take that for granted, you know? Like, they've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And they're still in great fighting shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Number eight.
Eight.
The Chosen Bros. Matt Riddle, Jeff Cobb.
I'm trying to think if when we saw them together, if that was their first time as a tag team together. I don't know.
I have no idea. I do not know.
But if it was their first time, they have fantastic chemistry as a first-time tag team.
Yeah, I have no idea. I would be very surprised if it was, given what you just said, given the fact that they have amazing chemistry together. But also, it wouldn't surprise me because of PWG, who knows?
Yeah. But their dynamic is kind of, in a certain respect, similar to Skrull and Sabre,
mm-hmm.
where you have Riddle, this real exuberant, charismatic guy,
mm-hmm.
and Jeff Cobb is a more reserved, I want to say calculating, because they call him Mr. Athletic.
Yeah.
He's amazingly strong.
No, he's
and he more or less
strong.
Lets his in-ring work speak for itself.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not the exuberant personality that Matt Riddle is.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got that juxtaposition.
Well, you've got Matt Riddle, who's gangly as all get out.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's got muscle on him. He was a former UFC guy.
Yeah.
But
he's tall and he's lanky.
He's tall and he's lanky and he's goofy as shit. He reminds me of Hilton when he was like 19.
Yeah, kind of.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Jeff Cobb is this guy who's, I'm not going to say he has a stone face, but compared to Matt Riddle, he does.
Yeah.
You know? And then he's just this big brick house guy.
Yeah,
you know?
This massive guy that swings competitors around.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an interesting juxtaposition there.
Yes.
And to watch them, especially to see how tickled Matt Riddle would be with the broken Matt,
yeah,
with the
like,
broken characters.
I feel like story elements where he should be pissed off at parties for some of their antics,
yeah,
he would just laugh and think it's the funniest thing there is.
I know, exactly.
So it'd be, all of it, I mean, a lot of these ones we picked, just because in terms of story, whether mm-hmm. it be just in the ring or in terms of larger narrative, there would just be some interesting
dynamics
between the principles involved that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, no, for sure. And given how tickled Matt Riddle seems with everything that happens,
yeah,
that would be.
There was this one spot we talked about it in our PWG recap we did a couple weeks back, where Jeff Cobb was getting suplexed by Michael Elgin.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So Michael Elgin held him up in like a stalling suplex position for a few seconds.
Yeah,
and then he passed him off to Brian Cage.
Yeah.
Brian Cage held him up for a few seconds. Passed him back to Michael Elgin, mm-hmm. who held him up longer and then did a squat and then finally suplexed him. This whole time, Matt Riddle, instead of seemingly being concerned about what's going to happen to his teammate, yeah. was amazed by the feats of strength.
Exactly. He's like, I mean, he really is like, I don't know, the crowd personified almost, you know? It's like he's like one of the most relatable guys.
Yeah.
Partially because he's so new to it, you know? It's like he's only been doing this for a short
couple
number
years.
Yeah.
Two or three years.
And so he just has this personality that's like, oh man, that's kind of like, it's our guy up there, you know? It's like the mark in us mm-hmm. is up there. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of great. But yeah, that'd be a lot of fun, the Chosen Bros. Number seven.
Seven.
Mustache Mountain.
Trent Seven, Tyler Bate.
Yeah. These guys have been tagging together for a little bit. Now they're both in the UK WWE scene.
Yes.
Remains to be seen how that programming-wise is going to play out.
If at all on WWE programming in terms of the UK tournament participants.
Right, right. But they, yeah, like I said, they tagged together as Mustache Mountain. And I'm a huge fan, I know you are too, of both of these guys.
Yes.
And so it would just be a blast to see. They were in, actually, I think they're in WCPW at the same time as the, because WCPW their Delete pay-per-view. And so I know they're in the promotion at the same time. I don't believe that they crossed paths. I think Matt Hardy actually teamed with Martin Kirby to help him win the GM spot.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
I think that's what happened.
Okay. No, as far as I know, at least in WCPW, Mustache Mountain has not faced the Hardys.
So yeah, that would be a lot of fun to watch. I would totally check that out.
Trent Seven, tons of charisma.
Oh, major charisma guy. Yeah.
Tyler Bate.
Yeah.
Young, only 19.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he's got he wrestles like someone who's been in the industry for a decade at least.
Well, there's a parallel there because how old were the Hardys when they started wrestling? Super duper old.
Wait, no, the Hardys?
I'm sorry, young.
Young,
super duper young. No, I was thinking about this in my head just now because I was looking up when I was doing Kayfabe Corner earlier. I never knew this, but Matt and Jeff, they did backyard wrestling.
Yeah, the Omega thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But they originally called themselves High Voltage.
Oh, yeah.
And they sent tapes to WCW to showcase their skills. And according to Chris Canyon, WCW took their name High Voltage and made their, and that's how that happened. And then Matt and Jeff, they didn't know that until they showed up later on, until they were actually crazy. In the industry.
That's crazy.
They took their names for like an actual tag team.
Wow.
And in their little backyard promotion thing, they changed their names because WCW took theirs. That was great. But anyways, Mustache Mountain. I mean, I don't know. This is just one of those things. I'm a fan of these guys. I'm a fan of British Strong Style.
Well, going back to the point you were making earlier, I think before I interrupted you, about how the Hardys both started when they were
super young, yeah.
And then maybe part of the storyline could be Matt and Jeff going to Tyler Bate saying, you or us.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, we're going to prepare you for what you're going to end up being, which is us now.
Exactly.
And trying to take him in, bring him into the broken Hardy fold.
Yeah.
And teach him the ways of the broken universe, and Trent Seven trying to fight that.
Yeah, yeah. I would like that. I would like that a lot. Because Trent Seven's old.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like our age, right?
He's like our age, yeah.
Super old.
Super duper old, yeah. Number six.
Six.
Sanity. I got bad news, Larson.
What?
I can no longer do the Eric Young impression anymore. That is gone with my jacked up voice. So sadly, I can't do it. I guarantee you, Eric Young, he had to have taken on the Hardys. They were all
team
together.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that. Boom. But it's not Sanity. Sanity is such a unique thing. It's such its own thing in NXT right now. That's the glory of people coming in from TNA, going into NXT. Guys like Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, Eric Young. There's this reinvigoration that happens.
Yeah.
A rebirth. And Eric Young right now is doing fantastic work. I watched a bit of his stuff back in TNA, and he was a standout to me. I really liked him.
Yeah.
But he was kind of like the sort of the underdog-ish guy. But I love what they're doing with him in Sanity right now. I think it's fantastic. And I think Sanity is so weird that the broken characters would fit in perfectly in a storyline. There's a million different ways you can go here.
Yep.
You could bring in Matt's wife. What's her name? Rebby Sky.
Correct.
Is that her name? And Nikki Cross. They could be going at it. Maybe the Hardys can enlist the help of some hosses.
Yeah.
In order to take
Hoss on. Hoss Hardy.
Exactly.
Broken Hoss.
Broken Hoss. There you go. Broken Hoss. To take on Big Damo, wherever they're calling him these days.
Killian Dane.
Terrible name.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah. But I think it'd be great. I do not see the Hardys going into NXT.
Not unless they wanted to.
But maybe Sanity can come up sooner than later.
But you know what? I know people would be clamoring for the Hardys to go in the main roster if they were to go to WWE. But going to NXT would be so comparable, I think, in many ways, to what the schedule they had with TNA
was.
I could see the appeal of it. Especially if part of what they may want to do is help instruct some of the newer wrestlers coming into the industry or coming into WWE at least.
Yeah.
I could see potentially the appeal of it, especially if, you fly down to Orlando for one day every month.
No, I actually think it'd be really, really cool. Here's the thing about the...
And their gimmick would go over great.
Here's the thing about the Broken Hardys coming in WWE. It would be so fantastic if they really did almost like an invasion thing where like everything in the WWE, it seeped into both main, both Raw and SmackDown and NXT. Like it sort of filtered through everything.
Yeah,
just sort of ran through and infected people with the broken thing. I think that would be so cool because it's like, man, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to elevate this like sort of thing that's above companies.
Mm-hmm.
It can be that. It started in TNA, but they've wrestled in WCPW, like we said. They've wrestled in, they're taking on the Young Bucks soon.
Ring of Honor,
Ring of Honor, exactly.
They just wrestled for Conan's promotion, The Crash.
There you go. Like, they would fit in perfectly in Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
Let them go there after the WWE, maybe. Like, they should be running through all these promotions as something bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
And infecting everybody. It's the fucking Hardys.
I know.
Like, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. They're still putting on really good matches, and they've got this new creative thing. And I just think it'd be fantastic if they did go through NXT just passing by.
Yeah.
You know, not like, oh, how long are they going to be there before they get called up? No. It's well aware that they're going through NXT to get to their next destination, ASAP, you know? They stop off, do a takeover, like a broken takeover. Like, everything, like, they get their own little themed pay-per-views just once.
Yeah.
Just once.
That'd be pretty funny.
That would be fantastic. And then they move along their way, or they go back to being just the Hardy Boys or whatever.
Yeah.
They culminate their storyline, perhaps, in the WWE, and then it goes on.
Everything comes full circle.
It'd be fantastic. I think it'd be really great.
It would be good.
Number five.
Five.
Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Yes.
Yes, this would be great. So many great characters in LIJ, including, of course, Naito, Takahashi.
Imagine the matches the Hardys and Naito and Takahashi could have.
It'd be great.
It'd be fantastic.
Nothing but charisma.
I know.
They wouldn't be able to do it. Look, here's my fear about Jeff Hardy being
in New Japan.
Oh, man. Nobody's telling him, hey, don't do crazy shit. You know, at least in WWE, they'd be like, hey, don't be doing dry. We don't need any senton bombs off a 20-foot ladder.
Yeah.
We don't need that. New Japan, they'd be like, hey, I think somebody has a 50-foot ladder. You can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy's not going to. He's going to go, oh, cool, I can do that.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
You're old, Jeff Hardy. How old is Jeff? He's like 40.
Something like that.
Something like that. But anyways, again, love to see this in New Japan. LIJ is, I think, both of our favorite, you know, t-shirt aside, we're both LIJ
as a faction. Yeah.
As a faction.
Yeah. I mean,
they're really cool.
They have some
Chaos is weird
because
Chaos is so all over the map.
Yeah. I'm still not sure where they fit on the heel face dynamic. Someone mentioned in the comments, I think to one of our New Japan, videos that Chaos started as a heel faction.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if some of the wrestlers that maybe joined Chaos back then are still kind of heelish.
Yeah, it could be.
Because like Okada is the top face in New Japan, right? Or is he just the top guy?
I think he's the top guy. Tanahashi, I think, is the top guy.
Well, he's the ace. But the ace is top guy. That's what ace means.
Yeah.
That means you're the top
guy.
You're
the face of the company.
You're the top guy of that division because Kushida is the ace of the junior heavyweight.
Yeah, exactly. But he's not the champion.
No, but he's the top guy because he had in terms of his legacy, he's most significant. I think Kushida's had the junior heavyweight belt like 4 or 5, 6 times.
Yeah.
Tanahashi's had the IWGP
like
heavyweight
times,
belt like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
So he's the ace.
Yeah.
But right now, he's not the top guy in the company. No. That's Okada.
That's Okada. Yeah.
But I feel like Okada is a face. Like, people cheer for him.
Do
but they also were cheering for Adam Cole at the Honor Rising shows, and he was straight up playing the heel.
Because how are you going to not chant for Adam Cole, baby?
No, I know.
I honestly don't know. Hey, you know what? It's like Omega said in his promo at the end of the match there. He says, there is no baby face. There is no heel.
That's pretty good.
Let me ask them.
What?
Do you think that style of promo will fly in the WWE?
I don't know.
He's got to tone it down a little bit.
It's very stylized.
That's a great word for it. It's very stylized. It is. It totally is. Because it's so Final Fantasy villain.
Yeah.
It's so Final Fantasy
villain. Well, then we'll get to this later a little bit more, but the promo that he and the Young Bucks did with Cody Rhodes after night two, where the Young Bucks were talking about their match with the Hardys.
Yeah.
I mean, Omega was almost straying into broken Matt Hardy territory.
Oh, I know he was. I know.
But again, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Getting back to LIJ.
Yeah. Okay, so Naito, most overdue in the company.
Yes.
But you can't tell me
he's a heel. Face. He's a heel.
He's totally ill.
He spits on everybody. He's a heel. I can't wait for my Destino shirt to show up.
Oh, I know.
Mail. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Naito might be my favorite guy in New Japan right now. He's so good.
I don't want to copy you.
He's so good.
But he's so good. He's so good.
Like the economy of everything he does. He does so little.
I know.
And it's all so effective.
Oh, it's so good. It's so simple yet so complex.
Exactly. He manages to get so much meaning out of doing so little.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Takahashi's great.
Yeah.
I mean, he is, him and Jeff Hardy are kind of cut from the same cloth in terms of putting their bodies on the line to win matches and put on
I really just want to see those two guys, Naito and Takahashi versus the Hardys. I think that'd be fantastic.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Number four.
Four.
The Authors of Pain.
Now, talking about a juxtaposition, you have the Hardys. Pretty goofy, their whole thing. It's fun, it's funny, it's surreal, but it's pretty goofy.
It's pretty goofy.
And there's absolutely nothing goofy about the Authors of Pain.
They keep it real.
No goofy.
They're just big bastards.
Who beat people up.
Young bastards who beat the crap out of you. This would be a really bizarre... You know, the bridge here would be Ellering.
Yep.
That would be your bridge. Because he can, you know, he keeps it real with the Authors of Pain... But he's no stranger to weird shit. Like,
but also, I mean, he's not afraid to be theatrical.
Right? Exactly. Like, you've seen those video vignettes with him, and he's all like basically like preaching sermon.
Yep.
You know, and even the name Authors of Pain lends itself to all sorts of great imagery.
Yeah.
That I think the broken characters could play with.
Absolutely.
You know, I think this would be a lot of fun. Like a couple of guys who. And I feel like right now the Authors of Pain, they are on a journey. This is very fascinating to me. I think they're on a journey, and I want to see them go through twists and turns.
Yes.
I think the Broken Universe.
And I think going back to their match against DIY at the last TakeOver, mm-hmm. where it was the first time, and they actually did a pretty good job of portraying this, that they were really challenged during the course of a match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree. They need those twists and turns. And it's interesting when they debuted, especially with Ellering, the first thing you think of is, oh, Legion of Doom, mm-hmm, Road
sure,
Warriors.
Yeah.
And in one sense, it seemed like, okay, they're pairing Ellering with these guys to give him instant legitimacy. So you think of the Road Warriors. And in one sense, that seems kind of cynical because you want to see the Authors of Pain kind of earn that, that kind of comparison.
Yeah.
But boy,
yeah.
They earned that real quick.
They did.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Because they have been destroying everybody in NXT.
Yeah.
They've been a lot of fun to watch.
And they've been a lot of fun to watch for many reasons, one of which is it's fun to see them learn.
Exactly.
It's fun to see them. So we went to the NXT house show here in Sacramento, and they were tagging with Samoa Joe, and they were tagging against Shinsuke and TM61.
Yeah.
And tell me they weren't learning all sorts of stuff on that tour.
I know.
So it's going to be a lot of fun to see these guys learn and be molded by somebody like Paul Ellering, who, you know, you couldn't ask for a better mentor.
Exactly.
Number three, the elite.
Now, we mentioned already that the Hardys have a match against the Young Bucks coming up, I think, April 1st.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor, day before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So we can't put the Young Bucks on here because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But Kenny Omega's not involved in that match as far as we know.
No, he's not. So
we want him to be involved in the match with the Hardys.
Exactly.
Because Kenny Omega is not afraid to bring humor to what he does.
According to him, during that Q&A session in England or Australia?
England,
I think it was. He said he prefers doing comedy matches. And you can totally tell that. Like, the match with him and Adam Cole versus Honor Rising. Against the Briscoes. There were so many comedic elements to that. And it's like, it's funny because they're trying to tease like dissension between Adam Cole and Kenny Omega. And it's like their friendship is so palpable that it's simply not believable. And I don't even think they want to give their all to the idea because they're having such a good time with each other.
Yeah.
They're having such a good time with it that it's like, oh, they want us to do this.
Well, was that the after the match where Kenny starts dropping a promo, Adam Cole grabs the mic, hypes himself.
Yeah.
And Omega grabs the mic back and finishes it up. And then he puts the mic down, but you can still hear what they're saying. And Kenny Omega says something like, what are you doing? This is my show.
Yeah.
And then Adam Cole says, no, this is Ring of Honor show. This is my show. And Kenny does this, kind of turns around a little bit and goes, all right, you're right. And they shake hands. It's like, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
And
this
then
is
it's
your
like,
show.
I'm sorry, but how can you sit there and watch that and then watch the Being the Elite video where they're singing karaoke together. And then they make little insinuations. They make little like allusions to it. At the end, they all hug it out. And Adam Cole hugs one of the Bucks Omega hugs the other one, and then they go and they're going to hug each other and say, we'll just shake hands. Because, like, you know, New Japan and Ring of Honor probably says, no, we need to tease some dissension between you guys. They're not going to do that. They like each other too much. It's not believable.
I know.
So I don't know. I kind of get the feeling sometimes that, like, and we've talked about this before, how Bullet Club is weak right now simply because Omega and the Young Bucks are more interested in being the elite.
Yeah.
And by extension, Adam Cole just enjoys all their company, and he likes being part of either the Super Click or the Dream Team. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like they're going to bring Cody into that too. And so it's like Bullet Club really isn't like threatening because all these guys seem so likable.
I know.
You just want to be their friend.
I know.
You know?
I know.
I don't know. It's just funny.
I don't know either. But I'm really excited to see the Young Bucks Hardy match.
This should be fun. I wonder if they're going to do anything at the Hardy compound.
No, I think it's all going to be in Lakeland, Florida.
Right. No, I know. But I would like to see an extension of that. Like,
yeah, that'd be great.
They had teased that before.
Yeah.
That the Bucks were going to go to the compound. And I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be so much fun. Number two. The New Day. Who wouldn't want to see this? New Day are the most over, like one of the most over acts in the company right now.
One of the greatest tag teams in WWE history.
If not the greatest.
Yep.
And this is an absolutely natural fit. We saw kind of like a little taste of this.
The Wyatt New Day feud.
Yeah. And that was an obvious homage to the final deletion.
Yeah.
And I would love to see this. You know, the New Day, not afraid, obviously, to get goofy. It's kind of their entire thing.
Yep.
And I would love to see how they would deal with, you know, we got a taste of it with the Wyatts, but it was a bit more serious.
Yes.
Like that shit was filmed like it was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
And you know, Final Deletion is a bit goofier than
that. Oh, yes.
But I think this would be a lot of fun to watch the New Day, especially how Xavier Woods would deal with the broken characters.
Oh, I know. It'd be so good.
It'd be so good. You know, this is what wrestling, I was mentioning this on our Raw recap show about how people were saying, you know, why can't we see the top-notch super team take on the Golden Powers?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because we could totally do whatever we want to.
Oh, yeah.
We could totally give them dream matches.
I know.
But you have your promotion. I have my promotion.
But, you know, it's a testament to what we've been doing that people want to see that.
I know.
That's how I look at it.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Imagine this, though. Say, because you know the New Day. I think I mentioned this on our Newsplex episode Monday. Say, you know, during WrestleMania 33, while the New Day is hosting the show, doing a segment, who comes out?
Yeah.
Broken Hardys.
Yeah.
Imagine the pop.
Oh, it would be huge. It would be absolutely
launching
huge.
A program that would culminate SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Give those two teams 4 months to do some awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome would that be?
Oh, it'd be fantastic. It'd be great.
That'd be incredible.
I know. Number one.
One.
The Wyatt family.
Well, let's assume there is a Wyatt family
after
WrestleMania. But Bray Wyatt going up against the Hardys or Matt Hardy just seems like such a natural.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Programmed to have happen if the Hardys go to WWE.
Yeah.
It just seems like the perfect thing.
It would be, we've mentioned this a couple times before. It seems like the perfect thing, and it needs to be executed
perfectly.
Perfectly.
I know.
Because with Bray Wyatt, you don't want to make Bray Wyatt goofy.
No.
And you don't want to serious up the Hardys too much.
Yes.
But I think there's some gray area between
there's
the two
a fine
where they
line
can play.
They could walk
mm-hmm.
to book it properly and have it be awesome.
I think if you so the broken Hardys are like you said goofy, but you can strip away enough of that goofiness and be left with something I think kind of compelling.
Yes.
And I think you'd have to make the Hardys venture into Wyatt territory a bit more than vice versa.
Yes. Because if you do vice versa, then you risk making Bray goofy.
Exactly. And so I think it could definitely be done. I think this is obviously like the thing that people want to see. Like the first, I'm pretty sure the first wrestler, Matt Hardy, called out on Twitter once the broken character really came into his own after the final deletion was Bray Wyatt, because the parallels there are so obvious.
Yeah.
This would be an absolute crime if the Broken Hardys came into the WWE and didn't experience the Wyatt family.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Assuming the Wyatt family still exists after Mania.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Hardys, I'm sure we've seen Matt or Jeff or both take on Randy Orton before.
Oh, probably, yeah.
You know, so there's some history there. Have them all play with each other.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounded gross.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the Wyatt family, that'd be great. Or
that would
Bray
be great.
Wyatt. Bray Wyatt, Wyatt family, whatever it is.
As long as Bray is involved, that's
that's kind of what matters.
That,
yeah.
That should be how it
Wouldn't
goes.
It'd be great if they had, like, Bray not involved and it was just Orton and Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
Oh, I know.
It'd be like, yeah.
And Bray's just literally standing at the top of the ramp during all these matches, just acting like, what about me?
I know. It was like, come on. It'd be,
what about me? He turns into Raven. What about me?
Yeah, it'd be like if the Dukes of Hazzard, you know, met up with Knight Rider.
But they had the
but
replacement.
But it was Vance and Coy.
Yeah. It wasn't Bo and Luke.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, we want Bo and Luke. So, yeah, that's it. That's who we think the Hardys, they're the dream matches.
Yes.
For the Broken Hardys would be fantastic. Hopefully we get to see all of these. It can happen. It can happen.
It can, but it probably won't. But I'm hopeful.
I'm hopeful, too. There's got to be at least some of these that'll go down.
Oh, yeah.
We know, like, the Young Bucks at least.
Yeah.
But we want
Kenny Omega involved.
Kenny Omega. There is no heel. There is no baby face. Anyways, that's it for Count Out. Be sure to check out tomorrow's episode where we have no idea what
we have no idea what it's going to be.
Have
but
not
we'll,
decided
we'll,
that yet.
We'll decide that by Thursday when we shoot it. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.